Hi there, you're listening to the Estranged Heart Podcast, and I'm your host, Creed Revere. Welcome back to our returning listeners, and if this is your first time here, thank you for selecting this podcast to listen to. As we begin today's episode, I invite you to grab a cup of coffee or tea, settle in, and listen with an open heart. But first, the regular disclaimer. I am not a licensed therapist or counselor. Nothing within this podcast should be considered or taken as therapy. If you are in need of therapeutic support, such as counseling, please seek out a therapist near you. Hi there. Welcome back to another episode of the Estranged Heart Podcast. For the announcements today, don't have many. I just wanted to give out a reminder for those estranged adult children who might be seeking a support group. I've had several reach out to me requesting that I begin facilitating one of these groups, and I am actively accepting applications for this group. If it's something of interest to you, please email me at theestrangedheart@gmail.com, and I'm happy to have a conversation with you around that. And if you are looking for coaching support, whether you're an estranged adult child or an estranged parent, please feel free to reach out, theestrangedheart@gmail.com. You can also go directly to the website and schedule from there. And that is theestrangedheart.com/services. And yeah, I think that is going to do it outside of the two quotes that I have for today. The first one being, we repeat what we do not repair. And that is by Kristen Langley Obal, psychotherapist. And the second is, sometimes the solution is not to learn something new, which might empower us, but rather to unlearn something old, which has disempowered us. And with that, on to today's episode. When I contemplated the topic for today's episode, it was one that came up that I hear on occasion in the support groups for estranged parents, but it's not one that I hear often, and I think it's worth exploring. And that is, when we do all of our healing work, right? As parents, when our kids have asked us to go to therapy and we've done that, or we've just taken it upon ourselves to do that, and we've done all of this healing work, it's changed us fundamentally. We're not the same person we used to be, whether it's in relationship to our children or in relationship to other people. And then we wonder, and with our healing, we lessen in our anger. We have more compassion for our adult child and other people. We are able to see different perspectives without taking things personal or grappling with it in such a way that we're still pointing fingers and that type of thing. We're able to sit with things, process through them, and integrate them into this new being of who we are. And then we're left with, for some of us, not all, as parents, with adult children who do not go to therapy, or who may be in therapy, but we're either hearing from other family members, what have you, that their movement and their process doesn't seem to be gaining traction. In other words, they don't seem to be changing, that they're still harboring anger, they're still harboring resentment, They're still very angry, those types of things. And I think there are a couple things that we can look at here to help give us some insight. I mean, one of these is, let me back up. I think it would help us to kind of view this through the lens of adultery in a relationship, you know, a romantic relationship, and one person has had an affair and the other person is, you know, the person who's had the affair, the person who did not have the affair insists that the other person go to counseling. Something is wrong with you. I don't know why you keep doing this. This is hurtful. I'm not the problem. You're the problem. Go to therapy. And then, so that person goes to therapy and they learn all the things and they have changed. And yet they're still in a relationship with this other person, their partner or spouse. And the spouse doesn't go to therapy, right? And there's just, because they feel like there's not a problem with me. The problem is with you. You've done the wrong, whatever that perceived wrong is, the adultery, the, you know, the infidelity, the abuse, whatever the case may be. And so then this person who's gone to therapy is like, why are you still mad at me? Why won't you forgive me? I have done all the things you've asked me to do. I've gone to therapy. I've done all the things. I've changed. I'm no longer that person. And still, you're still angry with me. Whether that's an, you know, overt, covert anger or not, you're still angry with me. You still have resentment. And you won't go to therapy. I want you to, I invite you to consider the pain that that person felt and the fear that they have that there will, whatever they experienced through this other person's infidelity, through this other person's abuse, through whatever it was, the fear that they experience that it will repeat, right? And so if there's maybe some of the ways that they have coped with these transgressions has been alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, shopping, you know, excessive spending, eating, whatever the case may be, they've developed some sort of addiction to be able to take them out of that pain. And now they're in the loop of the addiction. And I see this a lot with estranged adult children because they're in essence trying to drown or numb out from the pain that they've been feeling for all of their life. Right? So if you take someone, let's just think about this, someone who's had an affair and the other person finds out, oh my gosh, we've been married for 15 years. And the last 5 years, you were having an affair. That's 5 years of infidelity that has gone on out of knowing someone for 15 years. Adult children have been dealing with this all of their life. And at pivotal points in their life, when they were learning and growing and developing as human beings, right? So they're crucial developmental stages. They have been experiencing this quote unquote transgression. And so there's a deeply embedded fear in them that what appears to be on the surface that, you know, like, okay, you've gone to therapy for 2 years and now there's been a year that you've been, you know, things have been pretty good, but there's a fear that that year long new behavior is not going to last. And so many of them don't trust it. They just don't trust it. So there is the protection mechanisms of anger and resentment and all of these things that keep us at bay as parents, that they keep those in place until the trust can be reestablished. Now, are there other circumstances that come into play with this? Is this across the board? No, nothing I have ever said on this podcast is across the board, applies to everyone. Every situation is different. Every situation is nuanced. So while parts of this may apply to yours, parts of it may not. What I'm inviting you to do is to consider the bigger picture. Again, when someone is refusing to go to therapy, when someone is not allowing, per se, a parent to prove themselves, right, that they've changed and have different behaviors, there's something else going on for that person. There's a deeper emotion and or need that is happening for them that you're not seeing on the surface by them saying, I'm not going to therapy, or by just the very fact that they're not going to therapy, right? The fact that they're not working on their stuff. I also want to add in here, for many parents who decide to go to therapy, it's generally after some very huge, tragic event in their life. For most parents, oftentimes that's estrangement. They find themselves estranged. That's what happened for me. Now, I had been in therapy, but working on other things that didn't apply to my parenting, that didn't apply necessarily to my relationships and my being in relationships as a whole. So it took that traumatic, tragic event for me to get in therapy and really start working on myself. So you take a traumatic event, and I was in my mid-40s when this began. Our adult children, by and large, are in their 20s, 30s, and sometimes maybe 40s, early 40s. My question to you as parents, what were you doing in your 20s and 30s? Did you feel the need to go to therapy? Or did you think it was someone else's fault and responsibility to quote unquote, go do some work and get yourself right? Sometimes people have to experience some life before they begin to see and can entertain the bigger picture. Now, that being said, there are adult children who have estranged from their parents who are in therapy. I have worked with parents who have adult children in therapy, and those adult children are making massive strides in changing. At the same time, those strides are slow going when it comes to reconciliation with the parent. I can see it through other behaviors, other things they do, the things that they're saying now that they used to not say to their parent, and, you know, those types of things. I see the progress that's being made, but the parent's not able to see that. The parent is, why are they still mad at me? Why won't they come back into relationship with me. I don't understand why this is taking so long. And I'm always trying to help them to see this broken trust that the adult child is experiencing. This, I entrusted you with my heart and who I was as a person. My very identity was entrusted to you, and you crushed it to smithereens. Intentionally or not, it happened. And it's gonna take time for me to be able to step back into relationship and dip my toe in that water again. In that water that previously was boiling, and I got burned. Okay. So do I think everyone should be in therapy? Yes. Do I think that every therapist does phenomenal work with a client? No. Do I think every client is ready to do phenomenal work in therapy? No. There are adult parents, estranged parents who are in therapy. Some of them have been in therapy for decades and still have not made strides far enough to integrate and become more compassionate, to be able to see things from the other person's perspective, and be able to sit and talk about the other person without pointing a finger, without judgment, without shaming that person, etc. And when you've done your healing work, that is what happens. When you have done your healing work, you have integrated all of that, you get to a place where love naturally rises to the surface, and you're no longer interested in and or able to call people names, to shame others, to point fingers and things like that. You land in a place of curiosity and compassion. And that is how you know you've done your healing work. And I also will say the healing work is a continuous endeavor. We are multi-dimensional creatures. We are multi-layered. And we peel back layers and we think, oh gosh, I've done the work. I'm healed now. And something or someone will come along that will trigger us again. Maybe not to the degree that we once were. We don't harbor on it as long as we once did. But we have been triggered. And that trigger is your invitation to dig a little deeper for self. Not the other person. And when you can sit in that place of allowing another person to have their journey, regardless of your own desires and what you may want to have happen, but you allow them to be where they are at on their journey with kindness and compassion and curiosity and love, that's where the work is. That's what the work does. So allow them to have their time and space. Allow them to have their time and space to live life, to have life experiences. Sometimes we don't begin to see things in life until we've had children of our own. Sometimes having children of our own brings a lot of things to the surface that we have had, that we've hidden for a very, very, very long time. And then we don't want to see it. And we're not ready to see it. And you cannot push a person into doing their work, because then they're doing it for you and they're not doing it for themselves. And that's not, by and large, that's not how healing happens. A person has to want to come to that place on their own for themselves. And that's generally why it has to take a tragic event that the person says, I cannot take this pain one more second, and I have to get help to help me figure out how to get out of this. And that's generally when they reach out to a therapist. So for whatever reason, they may not have hit that place yet. And I just, again, want you to bring you back to yourself to think, how old was I when I was ready to entertain therapy? What event or events happened in my life before I was willing to entertain therapy? And can I extend kindness and grace and compassion to my adult child for wherever they are on their journey and allow them to walk their path on their own timeline? And I know that's hard as parents. When we've done our work, it really kind of is hard for most anyone who's done their work and has done a fair amount of healing and integration, because they know the freedom that comes with that, and they want everybody to experience it. They want to tell all their friends and all of their kids and their parents and their siblings. Like, you want everyone to experience the freedom and the lightness that you now feel after having done your healing work. And that's a beautiful thing to want for another human being, especially for our children. We have to allow our children to walk their journey on their timeline. So I hope this has given you some food for thought, something to kind of sit with, something to get curious about and explore, ask questions, think about things beneath the surface. And if you have questions or thoughts about this, feel free to email me, theestrangedheart@gmail.com. And I will leave you with the invitation to get curious, to stay curious, and to allow others to walk their path on their timeline. Until next time. This brings this episode to a close. I hope that this time together was time you feel well spent, and that you are able to find some takeaway nuggets to help you on your journey, wherever you may be on your estrangement and reconciliation path. If you feel you've received something helpful or positive from this podcast, please consider following us, sharing this podcast with others, leaving a positive review, perhaps entertaining becoming a guest on our show, or following us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok under the same name, The Estranged Heart. As a reminder, there is an online support group on Facebook. If you are a estranged mom who identifies as being spiritual and approaches estrangement with a sense of curiosity rather than blame and judgment and desire to do inner self-work and reflection, please seek us out. We can be found at facebook.com/estrangedmothers support group. And lastly, if you are an estranged parent or an estranged adult child and would like to have your story shared on the podcast, anonymously or not, please reach out to me via email at theestrangedheart@gmail.com.